The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
First inning on the way, and a fly ball into right. This has hit a ton. It is back. It is out of here. First pitch of the ball game. It's 1-0 Milwaukee. Hit down the left field line. This is a problem. Back is Bowers, and it is up and gone. Peralta's 1-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging. High fastball went up above the letters, and Ohtani's gone. Fly ball center field. Frelick is back onto the warning track. He's at the wall leaping, and it's over the yellow line. A home run. Two-strike pitch to Vaughn. Swing and a miss. Yamamoto strikes out Vaughn, and the Dodgers have taken the first two games in the National League Championship Series.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make it plan.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. How are you feeling about the Milwaukee Brewers' chances of coming back from an 0-2 deficit against the Dodgers to win the NLCS? Are you undaunted? Are you slightly daunted? Are you totally daunted? Go ahead and weigh in on that. Currently, totally daunted is running away with this sucker 80% of the vote. I think the frustrating part, and I'll just speak for myself, but I think I speak for a lot of Brewers fans, tell me if I don't, is that all season long, the Brewers thrived on surprising opponents, putting pressure on opposing pitchers, no matter what the count, no matter what the situation, no matter how many outs, they went up there and they were, to use the catchphrase, undaunted, unintimidated. Average Joes, we talked about, you know, Motley Crue, all of those types of things. It didn't matter. They were unintimidated by the moment, by the situation. And the way the Dodgers have pitched these last two games, it feels like has been the kryptonite for that attitude. It has been the kryptonite for that type of mindset, that type of dynamic. Because the offense is a major concern right now. And the numbers are not good. I'm just going to pull up an article here. We mentioned Christian Yelich, 0-for-7. William Contreras, Bryce Terang, and Jackson Churio are 2-for-29 in the NLCS. And Gabe, I think you mentioned about the infield hits, or right? Like, you mentioned how they just haven't been able to get the ball out of the infield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... In order to put pressure on teams and cause havoc on the base paths, you need runners on the base paths. And it's not even just that. Yamamoto and Snell were so sharp, they're not even getting walks, right? I know Joey drew one last night, and it just seemed like every time the Brewers were getting a base runner, it's with two outs, right? And they weren't able to apply the pressure, try to steal a base, get over to second base. It's tough to apply that pressure when you're not getting anybody on base. And those two were so sharp, it's just tough because the Brewers could not even grind out the at-bats that they typically do because Yamamoto was just dotting pitches. Oh, you're down 0-2. Close pitch. Okay, take. And strike three. Just somehow caught the corner there, and you're heading back to the dugout. There's been a lot more swing and miss. That's how good these two have been. So a lot of it is, to me, credit to the way these two guys have thrown the first two games.
Chewy Murphy said, we've chased more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing pitches. These pitchers brought out the worst in us. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had a team or maybe an opposing player who just made you guys look silly?
Probably Dallas back in the day. But they were so good, you know. But you know what I really think? I think it's just the devalue of the regular season in every sport. I really do. And I think Brewers had a team where Murph wouldn't let him do that. He didn't let him glide this whole season. He was on him. Because a lot of these guys at the beginning of the year weren't really well-known players on this roster. And that's why, you know, the preseason predictions for the Brewers were so low. And they blew those predictions away. I really think there's just a lot of Kansas City Chiefs teams that like, eh. Because when I played in the NFL, you lose a game, it mattered. It mattered. It mattered. Now it doesn't matter. You know, Adam said, Eagles lose two in a row. Who cares? We'll be fine. We're going to be in the playoffs. Buffalo's on a big slide. They're banging. It'll be fine. Let's just get there. I think that just goes across, and we talk about it in basketball a lot, how the regular season doesn't matter. All that matters is the playoffs. And I think there's a little bit of that. It's like the Dodgers are like, yeah, we're probably going to be in the playoff. Who cares if we're a wild card team? We're good enough where we can win it all and turn it on.
But not for everybody, though. It's not for everybody.
Not for everybody.
Because I think the point that you're making, you're talking about how the Dodgers sort of have the luxury of coasting. Remember, the Dodgers were injured for a chunk of the regular season. You could even argue that when the Brewers caught them, they were injured. What was the stat that you threw out the other day, Gabe, where you were saying, like, they had more money on the injured?
Oh, yeah. Yes. When the Brewers played them, there was more money tied up on the IL for the Dodgers than the Brewers' entire payroll.
So my point to that is the Brewers don't have the luxury of coasting during the regular season, because the only reason the Brewers are in the position that they are in is because, like you said, Murphy made them keep their foot on the gas all regular season long so that they could secure home field advantage, because it was supposed to give them an advantage in the postseason. That has not shown up in this series, Gabe.
No, and it hasn't. But again, it comes two things that they always say play in the postseason. You want to be able to hit home runs, and teams that hit more home runs in the postseason than their opponents, you know, their record is unbelievable. And starting pitching. Starting pitching always plays in the postseason. And that's where now, that's where the Brewers are beat up. Because even, and it's not even to me just Brandon Woodruff. It's Jose Quintana as well. Because when Quintana got hurt, there's just no way for him, A, to rehab the calf injury and then have a place to go and throw and get rehab starts, right? Oh, okay, he's building things back up. So by the time he's healthy, oh, now the postseason is here, and hey, we need you to go out there, even if your arm isn't up to the point where you can throw six innings, because we just got to get something out of you. So it goes deeper than just the Woodruff injury. I think the Quintana injury also factors in terms of how much they trust him and how long he can go, because he wasn't able to finish the regular season or even get injured earlier and get rehab starts and be ready to go and strong enough to throw in the postseason.
But this is where how the Brewers have to do it, though. If you look over the last couple of years with pitching, like, Freddie ain't going to be here. They can't pay Freddie. Will you agree?
Well, so I thought Freddie said he wanted to be here and was willing to talk about.
Yeah, they haven't come to an agreement.
Can they pay him?
No. I mean, not.
They can't pay him.
If he wants full market value, no, he can't be in Milwaukee.
I got to be honest with you, though, guys. I did see a lot of tempering the excitement about Freddie Peralta, who is our ace, but maybe not an ace, if you want to try to split that hair and make that distinction. Like, Freddie is good.
Freddie's not great. Somebody who is going to tell you that Freddie Peralta is not an ace doesn't know ball.
But here's the thing. In these moments, you need a guy to be able to go out there and do what. And look, Snell's not even the Dodgers ace, but go out there and do what Snell did. Do what Yamamoto did. And there are still moments when Freddie is on the hill. And again, I love Freddie Peralta. I want to make sure that I disclaim the hell out of this thing. I think he's fantastic for the Brewers. He's been a fantastic Brewer. But there are times when he goes out there and you know he's going to give up a dinger. You know he's going to give up a big hit.
But you don't end up with the fifth best ERA in baseball. And again, it's not like, oh, Freddie was hurt this year. No, he made every single start for this team this year. He made a career-high starts. He started 33 games and ended up with a 2.70 ERA. That's an ace.
Yeah.
That's an ace. Like,
he
so
had the most wins, I think. Didn't he have the most wins in the National League?
Probably, yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah, he had 17 wins this year.
Like, to finish my point, all I'm saying is I don't think Freddie's back down the road. So then it's Priester and Miz. And you keep this thing rolling. And hopefully this season's not over, but that's kind of how they have to do it, where the Dodgers can keep Kershaw until he's 58 years old and pay him $30 million a year. They can do that. We can't. And hopefully that'll change 2 years from now. But I don't know if it will.
So I see something happening here as we're having this conversation, guys. I'm seeing it sort of, we're sort of debating between whether or not we think that the Brewers' woes are more offensive related or pitching related. If you had to pick one or the other, and look, it's easy to say that it is both right now, right? Mm-hmm. When one is slumping, you need the other to step up. Right now, both, as you mentioned, the injuries contributing, of course, to the pitching situation. But what is more responsible for, in your mind, Gabe, right now, for the Brewers' struggles?
Offense, and it's not even close.
The offense.
It's not even close. Wait. I have to go back to the Sarah Langs tweet of, like, having one at bat with runners in scoring position is by far the lowest in any championship series ever in baseball. Like, you just can't. You need runners on. You need guys on base. Mm-hmm. Like, they've scored one run each of the last two games. Like, the pitching wasn't a problem on Monday. They gave up two runs. Pitching wasn't a problem on Monday. Yeah, they gave up 5 runs yesterday. You got to score more than a run in a playoff game. You're not going to win too many playoff games 1-0. Yeah. You need to put pressure on them. You need to get to that terrible bullpen that the Dodgers have, and they just haven't been able to get there. So it's clearly the offense, because they just have not been able to apply pressure. It was one of the best offenses in all of baseball all season long, and their first two games didn't live up to their reputation.
Is the Dodgers have the best rotation in all of baseball?
Yeah.
When healthy, for sure.
Yeah.
They do.
800-990-3776. Where are you placing the blame? Is it more offense, or is it more the pitching situation? And that, of course, includes the injuries that have contributed to them having to do these bullpen days, these openers, and all of these kind of newfangled ways of constructing the rotation. Let's go out to James in Bayview. James, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Who do you put the blame on?
Guys, thanks for taking my call. Like I told your screener, I think the offense was in a funk even when they played the Reds. Now, I thought they snapped out of it in Game 1 and 2 against the Cubs, then they went right back. The pitching is holding us in the game. The pitching is keeping us in the games because the Dodgers, they're not really putting up a ton of runs. Five to four in Game 1 against the Phillies. You could overcome that. But, I mean, it's just not Yelich. It's Ortiz. It's Terang. It's Frelick. I mean, they're not getting clutch hits. They're not driving in runs. It's just that's the problem right there.
You need guys on base to get clutch hits and driving runs. To your point, it goes back to the fundamental very beginning of it. Like, it's everything right now, man.
Yeah, one home run isn't going to cut it.
No.
A home run here and there is not cutting it. It's the offense. The pitching is keeping us in the game. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, I mean, fewest hits allowed in the first two games of a postseason series. 2019 NLCS Nationals allowed 4. 2025 NLCS Dodgers allowed 5. And the 1906 World Series Cubs allowed 5. Like, that's the company that the Dodgers are keeping with this pitching right now. It's just, you need more out of the offense.
That's the company that the Brewers are keeping right now as far as their feudal
lack
offense.
Of offense. Yeah. Like, you can't score 2 runs and win a game.
800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in, and a lot of people do want to talk about the money. So we will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and we will have the conversation that everybody is having, which feels a little sour grapesy. It does. But it is also a reality of Major League Baseball. Jeff Passan addressing it just a few days ago in an article as well. We will talk about the money right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Well, Mentality does a great job of helping men with low testosterone. And they focus on free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors overlook. So how do you know if you have low testosterone? Maybe you have low energy, motivation, fatigue, you're tired all the time, you have weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat, you feel anxious, moody, irritable, all signs of low testosterone. So go to Mentality's website, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and book an appointment today. Go through their process. See if what you're dealing with is low testosterone. They're a local healthcare facility that specializes in helping men feel and perform at their very best. And if you're like me and do have low testosterone, start working with Mentality. You can start to feel like yourself again. Your energy comes back with these testosterone therapy treatments. Belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens, and you feel, more importantly, like yourself again. You're confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So what are you waiting for? Head over to the website. Don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be the best for yourself and your family. MentalityHealth.com/radio is the website. MentalityHealth.com/radio to book an appointment with Mentality Health today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted and it was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate. Faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today. WendorfTeam.FirstWeber.com. I'm not the one for
stipulation, and I'm a flesh. I hesitate to do this because I don't ever want it to seem like excuses are being made for a team that is underperforming, because that's what the Brewers are doing right now. They are underperforming. But Jeff Passan wrote an article the other day talking about how If the Dodgers win the World Series again, it will open up that can of worms of does Major League Baseball need a salary cap? Because the Dodgers spend and they spend and they spend and they spend in order to put their roster together. There's different ways that teams defer money and what salaries look like, right? If you're sitting here going, Shohei Ohtani makes $2 million this season, well, right, that doesn't sound like a lot of money. But to know that $60 million of his contract is deferred, and then you talk about what Blake Snell is making, and you talk about what some of these other Yamamoto, etc., are making, it is a major disparity for what the Dodgers are paying this roster and what the Brewers are paying their roster. I think the simplest way to do it is to know that the Dodgers payroll is roughly 2.5 times larger than the Milwaukee Brewers. And so, of course, the question becomes, can the Brewers actually compete? Can they actually compete with teams like this who are star-heavy, top-loaded payroll when they are a youth-heavy, value roster-building, pre-arbitration, team control, etc.? Gabe, when people bring up the money disparity between the Brewers and some of these teams like the Dodgers, you could even throw the Phillies in there, by the way. They're another team that spends big. What is your reaction to that discussion?
I understand it, but at the same time, like, it's just the reality. I'm not going to throw up my hands and go, well, the Brewers are never going to compete. They can never do this. Now, do things have to break their way? Yes. When they have injuries the way they do to Brandon Woodruff, or as we discussed, even, you know, Quintana late in the season, you know, like, these are the things that can't really help the team out. And the money to me for the Dodgers buys them depth of this is how good they're pitching it. Like, their pitching is so good that Clayton Kershaw, what a pretty good year this year, not even considered to be a part of their rotation in the postseason. And he had a pretty good year. That's how deep they are, and that's what the money can buy. The money's going to buy you depth, especially at the starting pitching position, and that's the place where teams are willing to spend a lot of money is for guys who are going to be starting pitchers. I understand the article by Jeff is fantastic, but this was going to be a conversation at the end of 2026 anyway. Like, owners, if the Brewers somehow win this, I understand that the players' union is going to see, look what the Brewers did. They made it all the way to the World Series, and they have a $122 million payroll. We don't need this. That's not going to change the owner's mind and go, oh, I guess you're right. If the owners want a salary cap, they're going to want the salary cap, and I don't think that necessarily this series depends upon it, although either side is going to have a talking point depending upon the outcome of this series.
The difference is you probably keep Urias, right? Gabe?
Who are you talking about?
Who's the shortstop last year?
Willy Adames.
Even though
he went back to the shortstop before that. He went back to the shortstop before.
I actually thought he was talking about Uribe.
Luis Urias is, I believe, who he was somehow referencing.
So I know Corbin Burns was injured this year. Mm-hmm. You probably sign him, right? That's a difference. And I agree with you. It's depth. Even though this team in the regular season, played unbelievable, it's just different when you get to the playoffs. I mean, horses matter. And it just doesn't, the salary cap doesn't afford to do that. They got to kind of cobble this thing together, and they cobbled it together very well this year. But, I mean, it's tough going up against a rotation like this. And we're seeing it firsthand. They got to do something, I think.
Well, I mean, baseball feels like they have to do something. And yeah, that's why people like me feel that we might not have baseball in 2027, at least to start the season. Because it seems like this is, not this series specifically, but it's been a long time coming. And you see the money that the Dodgers spend or the Mets spend. And again, the way that they kind of mitigate getting Ohtani by deferring $680 million of the $700 million contract. So Ohtani's not really going to start getting paid on this thing until 9 years from now. 2034 is when the first payment's due to him in terms of the deferred payments that he's made. I think they have to do something, and the owners clearly agree that they're going to do something. Players union doesn't want it, and this thing's going to get ugly.
Let me ask you this, though, Gabe. Wouldn't the salary cap help the middle class? I mean, because the superstars are the ones that get uber bucks, which drives the salary cap up so high.
Mm-hmm.
If they capped it, wouldn't that help? Because the NFL tried to do the same thing years ago where it wasn't like there's 10 guys making tons of money and the other 40 guys making nowhere near what they're making.
I would say that in the NFL, it hasn't quite worked the way that they wanted it to, because so many teams want to go young. And if your choice right now is pay like a fourth round guy on a rookie contract or pay a veteran in the middle of your roster, veteran minimum, they're going with the rookie because it's cheaper than they can spend money on. Again, let's just take the Packers, for example. I mean, they want to be young anyway, obviously. They've been the youngest team in the league the last 3 years. But when you're going to pay your quarterback $50-plus million, you're going to pay Micah Parsons what you're paying Micah Parsons. You're paying Zach Tom to be one of the best right tackles in all of football. One of the highest-paid safeties is on your roster in Xavier McKinney. When you're spending money there, then you have to save money elsewhere, and they're going to do it with young guys and not necessarily the middle class of free agents. Like, that middle class of free agent that could potentially make, to me, in the NFL, $6, $7, $8 million, that doesn't really exist, because teams just go, and instead of spending that, I'll just spend it on a young guy.
But if you're Mark Adonazio, guys, what excuse do you have? I'm sorry. Why in the world would you go to a different model when what you have been doing, and people will argue that they wish that Adonazio would spend more and go out and get and keep and all that stuff, when they had all the success they had this regular season? When the Brewers were the number one team in baseball, why in the world, as the owner, would you be like, yep, what we're doing obviously isn't working? Because the argument is it is working. It did work for them. Now, I know that's not the end-all be-all. I know there is no banner for best regular season record in Major League Baseball. I get it. But there is a little bit of proof here that this blueprint, that building a team this way, does work, or at least did work for the bulk of the baseball season.
And I think the thought process there for somebody like Adonazio, who has obviously they've built this way, can you imagine if it was a level playing field and we could add free agents? Like, we've got a great farm system, now sprinkle in free agents, kind of like what the Packers do. Sprinkle in a free agent here and there, or be able to re-sign a Corbin Burns, keep one of your guys, or even Brandon Woodruff. Woody could leave as a free agent this offseason. We'll have to wait and see what the market is and if teams are actually going to be willing to pay somebody coming off of shoulder surgery and then couldn't finish the season with the lat injury that he had. But he could leave as a free agent. But if you could sprinkle in some of that and add it to the great farm system, the great scouting system that you have, I think that's the thought process of, yeah, we would be in favor of this because we already have the advantage of finding the young guys. Now, if we can keep some of those young guys long term, that can set us up for better success.
Reaction rolling in, Chew, on the Carbless Talk and text line. Tim says, not sour grapes. The Brewers are really fun and built to win in the regular season. The Dodgers, however, were built, bought for the postseason. There's a reason these outstanding starters can spend most of the season on IL and then make a playoff run. The Brewers have to be perfect in order to win a World Series. Yeah. It is tough to watch our boys look so outclassed, but their 8-9 hitters are doing better than our entire team. Meanwhile, Buzzy says, of course we can compete, just like Gabe is explaining, but we need everything to go perfectly to go deep into the playoffs. Why are we always injured come playoff time? Roster depth, bad luck, and then Ryan says, allow teams to go over the cap and pay the tax, but make it really hurt that they go way over the cap, make them not want to do it. And I believe that's what the NBA has tried to do, right, with the apron structure. And listen, you want to spend, that's fine, but we're going to nail you with these fines and these fees.
Yeah, and then limit you in what you can do in terms of adding to your roster if you're over a certain point, which is what the apron system has done in the NBA. And that's why, again, there's a real possibility of stoppage after next season.
Does this, Gabe, does this come down to a vote like the NFL does when they go to a collective bargaining agreement? Because I would think most players, and I'm thinking if I was in the situation, I would want to get the free agency as quick as I could instead of waiting 7 years.
Yeah.
So I would trade the cap for free agency
sooner,
and I would think, you know, the non-superstars, if it comes to a vote, because you remember years ago, Rodgers was bitching that no one reads the – everyone gets a vote.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a vote. So
I think
it's a possibility that the players say, yeah, we'll have the cap of free agency 4 years. Yeah. I would do that.
But it just seems like, well, the NFL Players Association is a disorganized mess. There are a lot of things going on. You can speak firsthand of the disorganized mess. That is the NFLPA. Major League Baseball Players Association is not that. They seem very unified and anti-cap because they want more money, more bucks out there for everyone. And the fear is if the money's not out there for everyone, then everybody's bottom line is going to be hurt.
Reaction rolling in on the YouTube stream as well. Seth says, the best bet in Milwaukee is constantly being good and hoping it falls in place 1 year with random guys getting super hot during a postseason run. Fair or unfair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't think it's random guys necessarily, because I would say that this team, especially the way that some of them grew, are better than just random guys, right? Like, I mean, Chewy called them pages earlier, but Andy Páez is a pretty good player. Like, is he just a random guy for the Dodgers because we might not know his name? I mean, he's better than that.
From a Brewer standpoint, I think they're saying random guys. You need a couple of random guys, like, who you don't expect to get hot during order to make that postseason.
Well, I mean, I would settle for, you know, the guys that are your horses getting hot right now, because nobody's hot right now, right? Mm-hmm. That's you need Yelich and Contreras and those guys at the top of the lineup. Churio, who I know hit the home run last night and now is getting closer and closer to breaking every franchise record in the postseason, despite only being in two playoffs for him. But you need those guys to carry you, and yes, then you need the contributions from random guys. And that's happened for a couple of teams. It's happened for the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks in recent years.
So let me pose this to you guys as we wrap up this segment here. If the Dodgers go on to win the World Series, and again, that's still a big if. There's still a series here to play, and then, of course, you got the World Series. If they were to do that, would the silver lining of that happening again be that it amplifies, it sort of accelerates this conversation about a salary cap in Major League Baseball, which would potentially, ultimately, help the Brewers? Is that a silver lining that you could get behind? It would stink, it would suck. Nobody is saying, go Dodgers here. But is that a silver lining of, if the Dodgers go on to win this thing again, all of a sudden we are having serious conversations about the disparities between the haves and the have-nots, too?
I just don't know how they do it from a monetary standpoint, where you're going to go to a cap. It's not like the Brewers are going to make any more money from their TV revenue. The Dodgers and the Yankees, whose TV revenue is off the charts,
yeah, the local
they're
ones.
they're not gonna share that money. It's not gonna be like the NFL back before all the owners got together and said, you know what? This is what's best for the NFL. Let's do it. Everyone makes the same amount. Baseball ain't gonna do that. They ain't gonna do that. So I don't understand, Gabe, even though there is a cap, where's the revenue gonna come from?
Yeah. Well, and what kind of cap are you going to go? Are you going to go soft cap the way the NBA has? Are you going to go hard cap the way the NFL does? I think there's a lot of conversations. But to answer your question, Jen, no. That silver lining doesn't exist for me, because I think it's a conversation that's happening regardless. Like, it's a conversation that's been on the track. Maybe that accelerates it a hair, but we already know what the deadline is. We know where the end date of this current CBA mm-hmm. is December of 2026, and those conversations are happening regardless if the Brewers win this series or not. Again, I think it gives, if the owners who want a salary cap are firm on it, I think they will point to the Dodgers as, yeah, look at, Dodgers won the World Series two years ago, or back-to-back years, first time in 20-whatever years that somebody's gone back-to-back in our sport, and they basically bought it. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing for us? And the conversations are going to happen regardless of who wins this series, to me.
TC weighing in saying, instead of a cap, what about a floor? We know damn well Mark A. isn't hitting a cap, even if there is one.
Well, but the Brewers are hitting the floor. I think the Brewers would hit. The floor is not going to be more than what the Brewers are currently spending.
Yeah, but hold on. Would it be that he has to spend at least, what's the NFL, 61% or 62% of what they make? I just don't understand how it's going to work.
Yeah, I have no idea what that number is, Chew, in the NFL, because everybody spends the money, right? Like, everybody spends the money. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, they have to spend X amount of the dollars. But the thing in the NFL, this is at least back when I played, the NFL splits the ticket revenue, whether you're not selling out or you're selling out. They split it, and then each individual owner gets the luxury box revenue. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I knew it was back when I played. I just don't understand how they're going to do that when you have the Marlins getting $6,000 a game and the Yankees selling out every game.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. How are you feeling about the Milwaukee Brewers' chances of coming back from an 0-2 deficit against the Dodgers to win the NLCS? Undaunted, slightly daunted, totally daunted. Let us know. Adam weighing in saying, this NLCS is a perfect example of the movie Dodgeball. Oh, you don't say. Haven't the average Joes sort of been the moniker of this squad? A lot has to go right for us to beat the Purple Cobras, but it is possible. Sounds like Adam is either undaunted or slightly daunted. Let us know where you stand today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. On the second floor, you will find the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails. It's Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Start your day with breakfast, go for lunch, maybe linger late into the evening with drinks designed to inspire. It is all wonderful. Flavors and drinks for every mood. The Studio is the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. The Studio Kitchen and Cocktails is now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. That's St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, right back there?
That's so true.
There's a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a, no, she got right up to me, took out a Glock and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Josh DiMaggio here for my friends at One Up Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. You heard me talk about them before, but with the football season here, it is time to play. I'm looking at a little weekend football. Drake May over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Jaylen Warren over 77.5 rushing and receiving yards. Jonnu Smith with an anytime touchdown. And the Colts money line over the Chargers. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
Brewers have looked thoroughly overmatched by the Los Angeles Dodgers thus far in the series. And I keep trying to scour the depths of the internet this morning, guys, and find some reason, some explanation, some hope that the Brewers can actually make this sucker a series. And the best I can do for you this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is to let you know that when you go and look at underdog win percentage by sport, Major League Baseball is top of the list.
There you go.
Okay? So 42% of the time from 2024 to 2025, the underdog won in a Major League Baseball game. I would imagine that the Brewers, although they had the best record in baseball, I would imagine that going into this game three tomorrow, they will be the underdog.
They are. I can confirm.
Can confirm. So here's what you need to know this morning. 42% of the time in 2024 and 2025. 42% of the time from 2015 to 2020. So that's a larger swath. Those 5 years and then last season as well. 42% of the time, the underdog won in Major League Baseball. And that's about all I got for you guys this morning. So you can decide for yourself how much you want to invest in that, Chew.
I think that's another thing. I think this will feel like a regular season game because it's a 3 o'clock game there. In the stadium is empty for the first handful of innings.
Tough
it's not an intimidating place to play. I watched the Philly series. I mean, I was blown away how empty the seats were. So that's one nice thing. It's not like going into Wrigley or anything like that. So it gave me a little hope.
You think that levels the playing field a little bit?
I think it takes away home field advantage.
Yeah, but I would also argue, look at this dangerous waters I'm treading into. This is like Chewy with the ocean stepping in with his toe. I don't know that AmFam has been intimidating. I don't know that it has been a hostile environment for opponents. I don't know that teams walk in there going, oh, it's a tough place to play. AmFam Field is a tough place to play. I saw Jimmy Rollins talking about how it's one of the best home run hitting ballparks in the league. And, you know, Dodgers certainly have taken advantage of that at times. Gabe, do you have any?
I think with baseball, I mean, anytime, again, like it was it hostile? You brought up Chicago before. If the Cubs had three hits in two games, how hostile would Wrigley be? Not very.
Yeah.
Not very. That's just the fact of the matter. Like, that's true for any
relationship.
Place.
Okay. Yes. The fans can't create an environment if the team isn't giving them something
Correct.
To cheer about.
Correct. And the Brewers offensively have not given Brewers fans much to cheer about over the last two games.
Yeah, and Joshy said he was there last night. They were trying their damnedest.
Giving it my all. You should have seen me waving that towel. That was a rotator cuff injury from spinning that thing around in the first couple innings.
You and Woody with shoulder Joshy. Injuries uh-huh. right next to each other?
Josh.
I'm listening.
What did you want to wear to the game instead of your khakis? You got dressed up a little bit. That doesn't sound like...
Well, huh? The thing is, I came out wearing joggers that were a tan color. It's not like they're fancy, but it's not like I showed up in anything that looks like, you know, traditional sweatpants with the cuffs at the bottom, and I got a weird look. Mussolini said, "You're wearing that?" And I said, "I mean, yeah, it's a baseball game." Like, and I don't know, are jeans more formal? Do I look more formal if I'm...
Wait, this brings up a great question. What is the sport of the major sports? And I don't want to hear polo or something like that. I get it. That's a fancy sport. What is the sport that you have to dress up the most for?
Golf.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Good call.
Why, just because you're wearing a shirt with a collar?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say a lot of people, though, I would say at NBA games,
NBA is
if
like
you're
a
in the first
show.
If you're in the first handful of rows and you're going to be on TV, people are dressing
that's,
pretty fancy.
That's different to me because that is so clearly and evidently people who are hoping to get on camera, get noticed, and use that position then for personal gain.
Yeah. Like only people like Larry David are showing up,
right?
You know, in the average
being courtside and being seen on TV is as much public relations as it is an expectation.
Well, you got a lot of things at play here, right? The NBA is indoors, so it's a climate controlled environment,
yeah.
right? In the NFL, you're basically dressing utilitarian.
Yeah,
dressing for whatever the elements are, whether it's an 80-degree day in September or it's a 20-degree day in December. That's what dictates your wardrobe. So for me, dressing up, look, last night when Chaser came out wearing his outfit, did I say, are you wearing those pants? I did. So me and Mussolini were on the same wavelength yesterday.
What was he wearing?
He was wearing shorts. And I just
What's
said,
"What's wrong with that?
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with it.
Then why did you say that?
Seems like
when you say that to a person, it's never a positive. When you say you're wearing that, that's a negative.
All right, Chewy.
There's nothing positive about it.
Let's walk through this together. You have boys. How short are the shorts that the boys are wearing now?
I mean, they'll wear 5 inches.
Stockton-esque.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when there's so much thigh meat, I was like, hey, I don't know, maybe we can just put some pants on. I don't know. They're very short. The shorts are short. Boys are wearing short shorts, boys. I don't know if you know this.
Look, my one boy got kicked out of gym class for wearing a Speedo to the pool. So that's how far.
Well,
there we go. And he also came out of the lake house when he got the point from me in what Borat wore in his movie, which is not appropriate.
Oh, the banana hammock.
Banana hammock.
Yeah.
The green one.
So he has no shame.
And speaking of football season, guys, when I am on the go, I trust Accutrans Group for all of my private transportation needs. Whether it's me getting to the airport or heading to Lambeau for the green and gold action, I make the ride stress-free by using Accutrans. At Good Karma Brands, we count on Accutrans to get our partners to and from Green Bay first class every time. They got professional drivers. They got reliable pickups, zero parking hassles. Your game day fun starts the moment you step on board. So book your ride now at AccutransGroup.com and you can always enjoy the ride.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times. Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
I
don't.
Incident?
There was
one. Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're looking for that great corporate party, but you're not quite sure how to plan it, contact our friends at Events by Design. Just search online, Events by Design. You'd boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work that they do, believing every event should not just be successful, but fun. One people are still talking about years later, and that's what Events by Design can do. Whether it's a small thing, or if they're just assisting your party, or they're putting on the party for you, Events by Design can help. So just reach out to them. Find out what they can do for you. Search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.
Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tausch is next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.